Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called The Straw That Broke the Camel's Back, an original story based on a traditional adage written for you by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Mia Kakitani Sanford and her family, Morgan, Louise, and Chris and their family in Nelson, British Columbia, Canada, Rose and May and their family, Maggie and her family in Rhode Island, and Ryan, Kieran, and Celine and their family in Michigan. Thank you so much, Celine, Kieran, Ryan, Maggie, May, Rose, Chris, Louise, Morgan, and Mia. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite character or scene, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch system, the home of Mario and Friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Hey, grown-ups, do you ever want to whisk your family away on a fun and exhilarating adventure? What if we helped you make it a possibility every single week? And from the comfort of your home, car, or wherever you are. It's the Cat in the Hat Cast, a weekly podcast presented by our partners at Purina. Your pet, our passion. Fill your week with sing-alongs, laughter, and a pinch of mayhem as you spend time with the oh-so-mischievous Cat in the Hat and his cautious pal, Fish. Tune in with the whole family, including your furriest friends, because when we spend time together, the fun never ends. You'll never guess what surprises the Cat in the Hat will pull out of his hat next. Follow the Cat in the Hat Cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks. Enjoy the episode. The Straw That Broke the Camel's Back. Once upon a time, deep in the scorching dry heat of the Sahara Desert, the animals were all desperately thirsty. The sun beat down like a molten mallet, making their shoulders slump and tongues loll and their feet drag through the sand. The usual watering holes were burned away, leaving rocky little dimples in the endless stretches of terrain. "We can't go on like this," said Ibel the camel. She was tall and golden, with a big fatty hump that she could use when food and water were scarce. "We need to find something to drink or we won't make it through the summer."
"Where do we go?" asked Sylvie, the little silverbill bird. "I flew up high and I don't see water anywhere."
"We need an oasis," said Ibel, and the other animals nodded. An oasis is a spot in the desert that has water that comes up from deep underground, just like a well, so even the sun can't burn it all away.
"Well, I can run and see what I can find," said Lita the cheetah. "I'm the fastest, so you all just wait here. I'll be back in a flash."
"Okay," said Osmond the ostrich, "but be careful out there."
Lita the cheetah nodded and started running, her big golden paws kicking up sand behind her. The other animals watched her go and hoped for the best. A couple days passed, and everyone was starting to give up hope. Osmond's long neck was drooping. Sylvie's little beak was dry and crackly. Hyrax, who was a sort of desert groundhog, stayed underground, where at least he was hidden from the sun. They were joined by Nile, the desert crocodile, whose normally scaly skin was dry as rocks.
"Need water," he croaked, his big mouth open and panting like a sweaty dog.
"Lita will be back," Ibel said, always the one to be calm and helpful.
Even for her, though, the heat was taking its toll. Her proud hump had started to sag to one side a little.
Luckily, later that day, Lita the cheetah came loping back. She looked quick and happy, and most exciting of all, she didn't look thirsty. Not one bit.
"I found an oasis," she said. "It's about a day's walk from here if we all go together. I'll lead the way. There's plenty of water for all of us."
"Let's leave first thing tomorrow morning, before it gets too hot," said Ibble. "Everyone, go get your families and your things, and we'll all make the move together." The animals all cheered and went home to pack. The next morning, they all came to the meeting spot. There was Ibble, Lita, Osmond the ostrich, Hyrax the hog, and Nile the crocodile, and all their families. Everyone was there, except for Sylvie the silverbill bird.
"What's keeping her?"
asked Lita, eager to get going. "I'll go check," said Ibble, and she trotted over to Sylvie's home in the thorny bush.
"Sylvie," she called, "it's time to get going."
"Oh, I'm trying," said Sylvie,
flitting about with her family.
"But we can't carry our nest. It's too heavy, but we don't want to leave it behind."
Ibble peered into the bush and saw the nest. A little thing of dry branches and roots and the like. It probably didn't even weigh a single pound, but the birds were too small and delicate to lift it.
"Oh, no problem," said Ibble, always happy to help.
"I can carry it for you. Look, here."
Ibble leaned in and scooped the nest onto her back. It sat crooked on top of her hump, but the branches stuck well in her fur, and it wasn't going anywhere.
"Thank you so much,"
Sylvie and the bird said, and then they all headed off to meet the others, each bird carrying some small treasure in their beak that they wanted to bring along with the nest.
"Okay, we're all here," said Ibble when they got back. "Lita, lead the way."
The animals, the big strange pack of cheetah and birds and crocodiles and ostrich and groundhogs, started across the desert. The day started a little cool, but soon the sun rose high and the animals started to grow hot and tired. Finally, Hyrax the hog and his family started to fall behind. They had brought with them all their lucky rocks and some toothbrushes for their big buck teeth and brightly colored spools of floss and snug little life vests so their babies could swim at the oasis. In the brutal heat, it was all becoming too much for them to carry. Ibble saw them struggling and told everyone to wait for a moment.
"Do you need a hand, Hyrax?"
"That would be so good," he said. "Are you sure you can carry all that stuff?"
"Look at me, Hyrax. I am balancing Sylvie's whole nest. I'm big and I'm strong, these are facts. I can bear any weight through this quest. Oh, strap that pack upon my back, oh, I can carry it all. Strap that pack upon my back, oh, I can carry it all. Throw those rocks upon me, throw them right on top. What's one more thing upon my back when I can carry them all?
Well, Hyrax the Hedgehog and his family added their stuff, and soon Ibble was loaded with her hump and the bird's nest, plus lucky rocks and the toothbrushes and the brightly colored spools of floss and the snug little life vests. It was a little heavy, but Ibble knew she was strong, so she didn't mind. Once the groundhogs were free of their burdens, they all caught back up, and Lita the cheetah led the way deeper into the desert. The sun rose higher in the sky, straight up in the air, that constant high noon heat. The animals pushed on, but soon, Nile the crocodile and his family were falling behind. Ibble had the other animals wait for a minute, and they were happy for the break, while she went back to talk to the crocs.
"Hey, gang," she said, "you need a longer break or something?"
"We're just not used to all this walking," said Nile. "We tried to bring just what we needed, but it's still too heavy for us to carry and keep up."
He eyed Ibble's back, already stacked with stuff.
I don't suppose you could help us out, like you did Sylvie and Hyrax?
Ibble felt her hump sagging a little, but she couldn't say no to her friend. Besides, she was a camel, master of the desert. And what harm would a few more things be?
Nile, you heard my whole spiel. I think you know what I'm gonna say. Lifting heavy things is my whole deal. I can carry it all the way. Oh, strap that pack upon my back. Oh, I can carry it all. Strap that pack upon my back. I can carry it all. Throw those PJs on me. Throw them right on top. What's one more thing upon my back when I can carry them all?
Well, Nile the crocodile and his family added their stuff, and soon Ibble was loaded with her hump and the bird's nest and the lucky rocks and the toothbrushes and the brightly colored spools of floss and the snug little life vests, plus the crocodile's picture books and spicy jerky and footy pajamas with holes cut out for the scaly tails. It was a heavy load, but Ibble was sure she could handle it, and soon the crocodiles caught up with the rest, and they pushed on into the desert. Ibble felt each of her steps come a little slower now, but with her long legs and her hump, she had it easier than most of the others. Only Lita, who had gotten a good drink the day before, was looking fresh. The others were all slumping in the sun. Late in the afternoon, when the sky was the same angry red as the sand, Osmond the ostrich gave a mighty squawk. One of his sons had toppled over into the sand under the weight of his pack, and Osmond himself could barely lift a wing.
"Ibble!" he cried, swimming in the sand. "I know you're already carrying a lot, but do you think you could help us out, too? We're a little desperate."
The friendly camel felt her hooves dragging, but she couldn't say no to a friend that needed her help, even if she was already tired and sore. She also felt, maybe just as much, that she was strong enough. She was a camel, after all, and walking through the desert was where she excelled.
"Osmond, I just can't say no. You need help, and I should provide. I think there's not long left to go. So I'll dig way down deep inside. Throw that wing wax on me, throw it right on top. What's one more thing upon my back when I can carry them all, yeah?"
Well, Osmond the ostrich and his family added their stuff, and soon Ibble was loaded with her hump and the bird's nest and the lucky rocks and the toothbrushes and the brightly colored spools of floss and the snug little life vests and the picture books and spicy jerky and footy pajamas with holes cut out for the scaly tails, plus the ostrich's wing wax and feather fluffers and decorative bangles for their long, snaky necks.
"Okay," grunted Ibble, "let's get moving."
The ostriches caught up quickly, and Lita the cheetah nodded and said,
"We're almost there!"
And they all started out again. Ibble felt her hump droop and sag, completely empty now. The weight on her back was like a big hand, pushing her down into the sand. With every step, her hooves dragged and her back groaned, and she felt like groaning too, but she kept it in so her friends wouldn't feel bad. After another hour, when Ibble felt like she could barely take another step, Lita the cheetah stopped.
"Do you guys see that little bit of green on the horizon?" she said. "That's the oasis! We're almost there!"
The animals all cheered, all but Ibble, who only had the energy to sigh in relief. Her back was aching, screaming really, but they were almost there. She had almost done it. They started walking again, the sun getting lower in the sky, but still hot enough to fry an egg on a rock. On came Ibble the camel and Leda the cheetah and Sylvie the silverbill and Hyrax the hog and Nile the crocodile and Osmond the ostrich and all their families. As they went, one of the little birds started to fall behind. In her dry little beak, she held a long, neon, crazy straw that she had stolen from some human trash a long time ago. It was big and bright and loopy, and it was her favorite treasure in the whole world.
"Come on," said Sylvie. "You gotta keep up."
"Oh, but I can't leave my straw,"
the little bird panted, slumping to the sand.
"Reusable straws are better for the environment, and they save turtles. I love turtles."
The birds looked at Ibble with wide, sad eyes, and the camel knew what they wanted. Her back already felt like bursting, but it was just one crazy straw. She could handle it. With big, grateful eyes, the little bird fluttered up and dropped the crazy straw in the nest on top of Ibble's hump. At first, she thought it was fine. But then, Ibble felt her knees shake and her back groan, and then she was tipping, teetering, falling. She hit the sand hard, and her hump slumped, and off flew the bird's nest and the lucky rocks and the toothbrushes and the brightly colored spools of floss and the snug little life vests and the picture books and spicy jerky and footy pajamas with holes cut out for the scaly tails and the wing wax and the feather fluffers and decorative bangles for the long snaky necks and the one neon loopy crazy straw. There was a moment of silence. Then,
"Ew!"
everyone cried out at once, and they all rushed over.
"Are you okay?" asked Leda.
It was all just too heavy. I'm sorry I couldn't help you more." Ibble lay there, aching and embarrassed. She was a camel. She was supposed to be the best at carrying stuff through the desert, and now she had failed. She had failed herself, and worse than that, she had failed all her friends. "I'd probably be crying big tears right now," she thought, "if I wasn't so dehydrated from the sun."
"Ibble, you helped us all so much," said Sylvie. "You don't have anything to apologize for. I'm so sorry about the straw."
"Yeah," said Nile. "We pushed you too hard. We shouldn't have let you carry so many things. It was too much."
"Right, but carrying things through the desert is what I do," said Ibble. "I let you all down."
"You could never let us down. We would never have made it this far if you hadn't helped everyone out," said Leda. "We should have been checking in with you more. And, you know, you're allowed to ask for help, too."
"Yeah," said Osmond the ostrich. "We all did."
"You're still strong even when you need help. Actually, asking for help might even make you stronger."
Ibble hadn't thought about it that way before.
"Come on, everyone," said Sylvie the Silverbill. "The oasis is so close. Let's give Ibble a break."
The animals all came forward and grabbed whatever they could, no matter who it belonged to. They grabbed the nest and the lucky rocks and the toothbrushes and the brightly colored spools of floss and the snug little life vests and the picture books and spicy jerky and footy pajamas with holes cut out for the scaly tails and the wing wax and feather fluffers and decorative bangles for the long snaky necks. Last of all, the little bird flew back down and picked up her looping neon crazy straw.
"Oh, thanks for helping," she cheeped. "I'll take it from here."
Ibble smiled. And slowly, she stood back up. Without all the stuff on her back, she felt fresh again. Even her hump stood a little straighter. Together, they all started walking. And just as the sun was setting over the hazy, hot horizon, they reached the oasis.
"Hooray!"
cheered the little bird, swooping with her straw into the cool pool of water. It was a big spring, plenty for all of them. And it was lined with long grass and lush green trees.
"We wouldn't have made it without you," Leda said to Ibble
as they waded into the cool water. "Well, you found it for us," Ibble said.
Well, yeah, but you made sure we could all make it, the cheetah replied. You're the hero. Ibble smiled a big smile and felt a warm rush of pride.
We can both be the heroes.
Okay, sounds good, Lita said, splashing her playfully with a paw. Ibble laughed and splashed her back, and soon everyone joined in, smiling wide and letting the cool water wash over them. The rest of the summer, they had plenty to drink, and they were all extra nice to Ibble, never forgetting how much she was willing to help, and never forgetting that sometimes it's the smallest things that push us over the edge. Like the straw that broke the camel's back.
The end. Today's story, The Straw That Broke the Camel's Back, was an original story based on a traditional adage written for you by Daniel Hines and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon, with original songs also by me. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.